41. On the ground, looking up. Regardless, this is not your concern. You turned your back on divinity. If race becomes an issue, he will be dealt with. And so will you. Teft woke up. Unfortunately, his first sensation was pain. Old, familiar pain. The throbbing behind his eyes, the raw biting needles of his burned fingers, the stiffness of a body that had outlived its usefulness. Kallek's breath. Had he ever been useful? He rolled over, groaning. No coat. Only a tight undershirt, soiled from lying on the ground. He was in an alleyway between tents and the breakaway market. The high ceiling vanished into the darkness. From just beyond the alleyway came the bright sounds of people chatting and haggling. Teft stumbled to his feet and was halfway through relieving himself against some empty boxes before he realized what he was doing. There were no high storms in here to wash the place out. Besides, he wasn't some drunkard who wallowed in filth and pissed in alleys, was he? That thought immediately reminded him of the deeper pain, a pain beyond the pounding in his head or the ache of his bones. The pain that was with him always, like a persistent ringing cutting deep to his core. This pain had awakened him. The pain of need. No, he wasn't just some drunkard. He was far, far worse. He stumbled out of the alleyway trying to smooth his hair and beard. Women he passed held safe hands to mouths and noses, looking away as if embarrassed for him. Perhaps it was a good thing he'd lost his coat. Storms help him if anyone recognized who he was. He'd shame the entire crew.
You're already ashamed of the crew, Teft, and you know it, he thought. You're a godless waste of spit.
He eventually found his way to the well, where he slouched in a line behind some others. Once at the water, he fell down on his knees, then used a trembling hand to fish out a drink with his tin cup. Once he tasted the cool water, his stomach immediately cramped, rejecting it even though he was parched. This always happened after a night on the moss, so he knew to ride the nausea and the cramps, hoping he could keep the water down. He slumped, holding his stomach, frightening the people in line behind him. Out in the crowd, there was always at least a small crowd near the well, some men in uniforms shoved through. Forest Green, Satius's men. They ignored the lines, then filled their buckets. When a man in Colin Blue objected, Satius's soldiers got right up in his face. The Colin soldier finally backed down. Good lad. They didn't need another brawl starting between Satius's men and other soldiers. Teft dipped his cup again, the pain from his previous sip fading. This well seemed deep. Rippling water on top and a deep blackness below. He almost threw himself in. If he woke up in damnation tomorrow, would he still feel that itching need inside? That would be a fitting torment. Voidbringers wouldn't even have to flay his soul. All they'd need to do was tell him he'd never feel sated again, and then they could watch him squirm. Reflected in the waters of the well, a face appeared over his shoulder. A woman with pale white skin, glowing faintly, and hair that hovered around her head like clouds.
You leave me alone, he said,
slapping his hand into the water.
You just go find someone who cares.
He stumbled back to his feet, finally getting out of the way so someone else could take a spot. Storms, what hour was it? Those women with buckets were ready to draw water for the day. The drunken nighttime crowds had been replaced by the enterprising and industrious. He'd been out all night, again.
Kallek.
Returning to the barracks would be the smart thing to do. But could he face them like this? He wandered through the market instead, eyes down.
I'm getting worse, a piece of him realized.
The first month in Dalinar's employ, he'd been able to resist for the most part. But he'd had money again after so long as a bridgeman. Having money was dangerous. He'd functioned, only mossing an evening here, an evening there. But then Kaladin had left, and this tower, where everything had felt so wrong. Those monsters of darkness, including one that had looked just like Teft. He'd needed the moss to deal with that. Who wouldn't? He sighed. When he looked up, he found that Spren standing in front of him.
"Teft," she whispered, "you've spoken oaths."
Foolish, stupid oaths, spoken when he'd hoped that being radiant would remove the cravings. He turned away from her and found his way to a tent nestled among the taverns. Those were closed for the morning, but this place, it had no name and didn't need one, was open. It was always open, just like the ones back in Dalinar's war camp had been, just like the ones in Sadeus's war camp. They were harder to find in some places than others, but they were always there. Nameless, but still known. The tough-looking Herdazian man sitting at the front waved him in. It was dim inside, but Teft found his way to a table and slumped down. A woman in tight clothing and a glove with no fingers brought him a little bowl of fire moss. They didn't ask for payment. They all knew that he wouldn't have any spheres on him today, not after his binge last night. But they would make sure to get paid eventually. Teft stared at the little bowl, loathing himself, and yet the scent of it made his longing multiply tenfold. He let out a whimpering groan, then seized the fire moss and ground it between his thumb and forefinger. The moss let off a small plume of smoke, and in the dim light the center of the moss glowed like an ember. It hurt, of course. He'd worn through his calluses last night, and now rubbed the moss with raw, blistering fingers. But this was a sharp, present pain, a good kind of pain. Merely physical, it was a sign of life. It took a minute before he felt the effects, a washing away of his pains followed by a strengthening of his resolve. He could remember long ago that the fire moss had done more to him. He remembered euphoria, nights spent in a dizzy, wonderful daze where everything around him seemed to make sense. These days he needed the moss to feel normal. Like a man scrambling up wet rocks, he could barely reach where everyone else was standing before he slowly started sliding back down. It wasn't euphoria he craved anymore. It was the mere capacity to keep on going. The moss washed away his burdens. Memories of that dark version of himself. Memories of turning his family and his heretics, even though they'd been right all along. He was a wretch and a coward and didn't deserve to wear the symbol of Bridge Four. He'd as good as betrayed that Spren already. She'd best have fled. For a moment, he could give that all up to the fire moss. Unfortunately, there was something broken in Teft. Long ago, he'd gone to the moss at the urgings of other men in his squad and Sadeus's army. They could rub the stuff and get some benefit. Like a man chewed ridge bark when on guard duty to stay awake. A little fire moss, a little relaxation, and then they moved on with their lives. Teft didn't work that way. Burdens shoved aside, he could have gotten up and gone back to the bridgeman. He could have started his day. But storms, a few more minutes sounded so nice. He kept going. He went through three bowls before a garish light made him blink. He pulled his face off the table where, to his shame, he'd drooled a puddle. How long had it been, and what was that terrible, awful light? "Here he is," Kaladin's voice said as Teft blinked. A figure knelt beside the table. "Oh, Teft."
"He owes us for three bowls," said the den's keeper. "One garnet brome."
"Be glad," an accented voice growled. "We do not rip off pieces of your body and pay you with those."
Storms. Rock was here too? Teft groaned, turning away.
"Don't see me," he croaked. "Don't."
"Our establishment is perfectly legal, Horn Eater," the dennkeeper said. "If you assault us, be assured we will bring the guard, and they will defend us."
"Here's your blood money, you eel," Kaladin said, pushing the light toward them. "Rock, can you get him?" Large hands took Teft, surprisingly gentle with their touch. He was crying. Kalek. Where's your coat, Teft? Kaladin asked from the darkness.
I sold it,
Teft admitted, squeezing his eyes shut against the shame spren that drifted down around him in the shape of flower petals.
I sold my own storming coat.
Kaladin fell silent, and Teft let Rock carry him from the den. Halfway back, he finally managed to scrounge up enough dignity to complain about Rock's breath and make them let him walk on his own feet, with a little support under the arms. Teft envied better men than he. They didn't have the itch, the one that went so deep that it stung his soul. It was persistent, always with him, and couldn't ever be scratched, despite how hard he tried. Kaladin and Rock set him up in one of the barrack rooms, private, wrapped in blankets and with a bowl of Rock's stew in his hands. Teft made the proper noises, the ones they expected. Apologies, promises he would tell them if he was feeling the need again. Promises that he'd let them help him. Though he couldn't eat the stew, not yet. It would be another day before he could keep anything down. Storms, but they were good men. Better friends than he deserved. They were all growing into something grand, while Teft just stayed on the ground looking up. They left him to get some rest. He stared at the stew, smelling the familiar scent, not daring to eat it. He'd go back to work before the day was out, training bridgemen from the other crews. He could function. He could go for days pretending that he was normal. Storms he'd balanced everything in Sadius's army for years before taking one step too far, missing duty one too many times and landing himself in the bridge crews as punishment. Those months running bridges had been the only time in his adult life when he hadn't been dominated by the Moss. But even back then, when he'd been able to afford a little alcohol, he'd known that eventually he'd find his way back. The liquor wasn't ever enough. Even as he braced himself to go to work for the day, one nagging thought overshadowed his mind. A shameful thought. I'm not going to get any more Moss for a while, am I? That sinister knowledge hurt him more than anything. He was going to have to go a few excruciating days feeling like half a man. Days when he couldn't feel anything but his own self-loathing. Days living with the shame, the memories, the glances of other bridgemen. Days without any storming help whatsoever. That terrified him.